And I think one of the big issues for us as human beings is we let our circumstances overrun our sensibilities, especially our spiritual sensibility. The fact that God exists is true whether you're having a good day or not. And I think as we look at that, no matter what your situation, whether you're an orphan like me or whatever is happening in your family, God is there. God knows it. God is still good. He is still in your corner. And I had a deep sense of that. I just knew that God cared for me, even though nobody else seemed to.
Wow. That's Jim Daly. Maybe you're surprised to hear a little bit of his story about his own journey, about becoming a good dad. That's our focus today. Jim Daly is the president of Focus on the Family, and he's going to join me right here on the line in just a couple minutes as we talk about living intentionally as a dad.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Joining Randy today is the president and CEO of Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, and they'll be discussing Jim's latest book, The Good Dad. If you have any stories on having a good dad or being a good dad, call our toll-free story line at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be an intentional dad, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Kurt, appreciate it. And welcome to our Intentional Living Center. You know, being a good dad is, by the way, we don't call this a perfect dad program. That's because I'm hosting it. And I've got three kids and some grandkids. And listen, far from being perfect. Lots of mistakes. Things wish you could do over, you know. But we can be a good dad. We can work on it to be a good dad. Jim Daly is going to join me, as you just heard, from Focus on the Family here in just about 1 minute. Just before we get to Jim, though, on the phone, let me just remind all of our friends across Arizona that we're at the very cusp. There's a big word. Cusp. What is a cusp? Right at the cusp of the final Love Your Marriage date night for this year. It'll be tomorrow night, Saturday night, Tucson, Christ Community Church. Great celebration of marriage. We're going to have a lot of fun, and you can scoop up your tickets still. You can get them right now, right at this moment, by going to theintentionallife.com. Don't wait. Go to theintentionallife.com, and we want to see you tomorrow. We're going to have a great time. Jim Daly joins me in just 1 minute.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I was calling about my daddy. I guess the best thing he did for us was he loved and respected and cherished our mama. And it showed me and my sisters what we should expect out of our marriages. And that was the best thing he could have ever done for us. Loved mama the way that God loves him. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, listen, I'm pleased to have here on the line today from Focus on the Family, our friend and the president CEO of Focus on the Family, Jim Daly. Jim, welcome to Intentional Living.
Randy, it's great to be with you.
You know, I have in my hand a book that says, The Good Dad Becoming the Father You Were Meant to Be. I know you wrote this to help dads, but I also know that, you know, you didn't learn it in the home you grew up in. How'd that really impact you when you think about your own upbringing in terms of writing a book now for dads?
Well, I think, one, God has a sense of humor. I think if we look in our lives closely enough, we'll see that come through in different ways. For me, you know, to be now president of Focus on the Family, when that happened, what I sense the Lord telling me is I gave you just about every family type you could live in so that you could speak with that kind of experience. But I had, you know, a normal dysfunctional mom and dad family, biological family, and my dad divorced. And I had three dads, really. I had my alcoholic father. I had a stepfather who left the day of my mom's funeral when I was 9 years old. He walked out. He just couldn't take the stress. And then I was in foster care. And 6 months into that, the foster father accused me of trying to murder him, which was not true. I was only 9 and a half. I didn't understand it, but he was just taking his emotional issues out on this little kid. And so by the time I was 10, three major father figures for me taught me everything I did not want to be as a dad.
Yeah, and you could have gone in different directions than you chose to go. Was there a turning point for you in terms of saying, hey, you know, there's a better way of doing this fathering thing?
Well, I think one, and it sounds trite, but I think the Lord had the scruff of my neck. You know, I think that the Lord said, this kid is my kid and he'll be mine. And I was 15 when I accepted Christ. But I think in my heart, I wanted to believe in God. I didn't have any reason not to believe in God. But those circumstances were certainly putting a lot of weight on me. And I think one of the big issues for us is, as human beings, is we let our circumstances overrun our sensibilities, especially our spiritual sensibility. The fact that God exists is true whether you're having a good day or not.
Right.
And I think as we look at that, no matter what your situation, whether you're an orphan like me or whatever is happening in your family, God is there. God knows it. God is still good. He is still in your corner. And I had a deep sense of that. I just knew that God cared for me, even though nobody else seemed to.
You know, dads are listening, Jim, and many feel inadequate, you know, because there's so much emphasis on leadership. And I think many men think, well, I'm not a leader. I'm not a leader by nature, by training, by experience. And maybe my wife is even a better leader than I am. And they're thinking, but I'm supposed to do this. They don't know where to begin. Maybe feel like they're getting beat up a little bit at home because they're not measuring up. What does a dad who's feeling a little inadequate do today?
Well, one is, you know, be content in how God made you. That's one of the big things. I didn't call it the perfect dad. And I did that for a reason, because I'm not perfect, right. And I don't know any perfect people. In fact, the more perfect we think we are, we're typically farther away from God, because I think he wanted to make sure that we knew we didn't measure up to the standard and that we needed his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And that's the whole point of the Christian message. We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody died for you, would you not be happy and show that gratitude? And so as a Christian, that's what I'm saying here, is you don't have to be perfect. You will have your inadequacies, and it's okay. Certainly work on things that you can improve on. But when it comes to being a good dad, what it means is time, sincerity, love. You'd have to be the father, and those are kind of the topics I cover in the book. Love is so critical. Today, especially in Christian homes, Randy, we are so driven by the rules, and we want to help our children, rightfully, be good people. And so we set up all these rules for them to follow, and when they break the rule, they get the consequences. So many of the homes, though, don't have love and joy.
Yeah.
And I would rather err in that direction to say, I know you've got some issues. I've got issues. I'm your dad. Know that I love you, and let's work on them together. That just sounds like the way the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, would put it. And I think we should mirror that kind of attitude.
Absolutely.
That we feel from God.
You know, I was at a conference speaking many, many years ago, and Josh McDowell was there as well. And he made a statement that I'm sure he's used many times that really stuck. He said, a rule without a relationship with your kids, you know, really is creating rebellion in your kids.
Mm.
And
I
think that's true, isn't it?
Absolutely. Think of that. Rules without relationship equal rebellion. What a good thing. Love in that equation creates relationship.
Yeah.
And that's one of the points in the book. You know, I use an analogy of the tetherball because to me it fits. I played a lot of tetherball in elementary school. And when you think of that pole, the parent is the pole, the ball is the child. And that rope that holds the ball on the end, whether it's close to the pole or far away from the pole, that is the love of a parent. And unfortunately, often what parents will do is, because we're riding our children, we want them to do better, perhaps we're embarrassed by them because their behavior isn't what we would want. Every little nick in that rope of love withers the connection. And at some point, if it gets too desperate, that ball just flies far from the pole, the rope breaks, and relationship is broken. And there's where we need to maintain that connection with our children.
More with Jim Daly coming up here in just a minute on Being a Good Dad, his newest book on becoming the father you were meant to be.
My name is Elaine, and I had a wonderful father. He's passed away, and he's with Jesus. He was always kind and loving. I never heard my mother and father argue. He never said a harsh word to me, but he showed the love of God. He drove a Sunday school bus, and everything I know of God was from my father and my mother teaching me daily by their actions.
Jim Daly is my guest here today. He's written a new book called The Good Dad, Becoming the Father You Were Meant to Be. And Jim, here at Intentional Living, we focus on helping people focus on goals that honor Christ and then following through intentionally. What does that mean in terms of dads being intentional? If a dad today were just to say, hey, here's two or three things that I need to be very intentional about. I know there's several things that you write about, but what would be right at the top of the list of the top two or three things?
I think for me, one of the things I'd never heard was I love you or I'm proud of you. So literally every day, without it becoming too trite, I tell my boys, who are now 14 and 12, every day I tell them I love them and I'm so proud of what you've done. And I find something to point to as an example, whether one of my boys is really good at art, and so he'll bring home a drawing and I'll talk about how good he is and how terrible I am at art. Mm-hmm. Whatever it might be, find an attribute, particularly of their character, and build on that. So often we're the prosecuting attorneys rather than the defense attorneys. And I think the Lord's in the business of being our defense attorney, not the prosecutor. And I think as parents, we need to mirror that again. We need to be in our kids' corner. That doesn't mean you let somebody off the hook. You hold a standard. But one thing I would clearly do every day is make sure that they know you're in their corner and that you love them. The other is time.
Yeah.
You know, there's always this debate, Randy, between quality time and quantity time. And busy dads, we have a terrible habit of saying, hey, I gave my son quality time. And you know what son really wants? He just wants a lot of your time.
Absolutely.
Now, I know, I mean, the schedule's going to hold, and you got to get your work done and all those things, but find a way in your schedule to block out time for your children. For me, I try to get home by 5:30, 6 o'clock. I give a solid 2 hours to my kids. We will play a board game. We'll be around the dinner table together. At bedtime, about 8:30. Then if I have some extra work I need to do, my wife is gracious and she'll, you know, I'll go into the office at home and I'll take care of those things. But give your kids that kind of time. Find a way to make it work, and your parenting experience will be far better.
I think young dads today are growing up in a different environment than certainly I did, and different culture, and maybe easier for them to connect with their kids and apologize. But I think it's important. We've taught parents over the years, hey, dads, when you blow it, it's okay to say to your kids, you know, hey, I blew it, and here's how I blew it, and will you forgive me? I think keeping the short accounts, as the Bible says, that we don't go to bed with unresolved issues with our spouse, but I think we can do the same thing with our kids. We can let this stuff build up, and there's a lot of kids. In fact, I talked to one today on my Intentional Living broadcast who was reflecting back to her mom, and it was just a series of stuff. It wasn't any one big incident, but just a lot of unresolved stuff, and we were talking about the power of forgiveness. She realized she had to forgive a whole bunch of stuff that mom wasn't even aware of in her life. And I think as dads, the level of sensitivity of saying, how am I doing? Kind of a gut check. How am I doing with my kids? And do I have to make some things right? And that's certainly, Jim, something that we need to do as dads, don't we?
Well, we do. And, you know, the power of apology and humility, it's a great thing to model for your children. I remember one night I had to discipline Trent, my oldest. I don't know, he was probably 9 or 10. And I remember he walked up to his room, and I followed him, which I normally would do, to hug him and make sure he knew why he got the punishment and, you know, that I still loved him. And I was up in his room, and he wouldn't speak to me. He'd only shake his head yes or no. And I said to him, if I get you a pen and pad, will you write an answer to my questions? And he nodded yes, you know. I went and got it, and I gave it to him. And I said, when I discipline you, how do you feel? And he scribbles a note, and I read it. And he wrote, when you discipline me, makes me feel like you don't love me. And I just, my heart broke, and I had to explain that. But within a few minutes, he was hugging me. He was back in love with me as my son. It was such a powerful example for me. And also, when I've blown it, just to look him in the eye and say, I'm so sorry, that was wrong of me to act that way, to say that thing. You will never see a bigger smile on your child's face when you apologize to them.
Absolutely.
Because now it says a couple things. One, you love me enough to be humble. And two, you're not perfect. I thought I had to be perfect like you. When they know that they're not living to this standard of perfection, it releases them from a bondage that could last a lifetime.
Amen to that. Jim Daly's my guest here today. He's the author of The Good Dad, Becoming the Father You Were Meant to Be, here at Intentional Living. And I know in the book, Jim, you talk about our safety-conscious culture today. And and as a grandpa, you know, as a grandfather, wow, you know, I'm concerned about what goes on. You turn on the TV, you go online, it's everywhere. But you're concerned that maybe in the process we might actually be hurting our kids.
Well, I think, and there's severities to it. I chuckled because I'm thinking of my wife and I having a regular discussion about them riding their bikes real quick to the mailbox with or without their helmet. And you know, you put your child up in the tree rather than let them struggle and maybe even, you know, slip out of the tree if it's a small drop. And we're doing so much to protect our children and to keep them safe that they're not learning a sense of self-confidence because they're not able to conquer anything. Everything's kind of done for them, or they're prevented from conquering something because it's too dangerous. Now, you don't want to be ridiculous. You don't want to put your child in a bad spot. But boy, childhood, that's what it's about. It's being able to climb that tree or talk with somebody who is an older adult that, you know, maybe you're shy and you're encouraged by your parent to do so. There's all these examples where we need to, I think, bite our tongue a little bit and let our child kind of risk themselves and either succeed or fail, because they're learning something in both environments. If they fail, they learn that they've got to do better. And they start to begin to have self-awareness to understand who they are and, do I measure up? Am I good enough? And that's part of life. And if you hide them from that reality, they'll be in college getting an F, and you'll be wanting to call their college professor saying, how could you give my son an F?
Absolutely.
And that's not a healthy place to be.
Well, there's a balance. When I was a kid, I was just thinking, when I was a kid, my parents bought me a chemistry set, and they sent me in the basement. I think it had sulfuric acid and had everything. Just don't blow up the house, Randy, and you're fine. We had BB guns to play with, and back in those days, helmets when you rode a bike, no way. You just ran into the tree, picked yourself up, and kept going. And things have changed, and certainly in some ways to the better. But we do live in a dangerous world. We know that. And we want to protect our kids. But there can be overprotection. And sometimes as dads, we can get too controlling. And maybe as a controller, you don't even know you're controlling. My dad was a great dad. But he was also tended to be kind of a controller. He knew how things were supposed to be. And I think as dads, this whole thing of control, we got to balance this thing, because it's hard for us. How do we manage control as a dad in our family?
Well, I mean, one is you look to your own relationship with the Heavenly Father. You know, when you look at God, God has a bunch of teenagers on this planet, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I think that is one place to get a great source of inspiration about how to let go. And I think God has demonstrated that for us. He says to us, choose life or death. You know, it's your choice. This is a much better path. And I think as we parent, as fathers, we've got to be careful that we don't over-control, because when children launch at 18 or 19, if you have over-controlled them in your house, they will cut loose when your supervision is not there. The goal of parenting is not to protect them from everything. It's to incrementally give them responsibility to the point when they're ready to launch and leave your home, that they are healthy emotionally, intellectually, socially, to be able to manage difficult situations and make right decisions, because you've equipped them, you've trained them to think properly. And if we can use that as our goal as parents, I think we've done the job. It's not to simply keep them safe and away from danger. It is to teach them how to live in a world that is full of danger.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim. Hold on. We'll be back with more with Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, and how to be a good dad.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Joining Randy today is Jim Daly, the president and CEO of Focus on the Family. They're discussing Jim's latest book, The Good Dad, and they'll be right back. Maybe today's program has got you thinking that you want to be a better parent. Well, why not make that your intentional one thing? What's the one thing you can do to start being a better dad or a better mom? Join the Intentional One Thing Challenge today, and we'll pray for you. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
I was driving to a Friday night party, and I accidentally turned to your station, and it just came to me that I can't escape the storms of my life by getting drunk. So I turned the car around, went back home to my baby boy and my loving wife who are waiting, and I just can't thank you enough.
When people are running from the storms of life, Intentional Living redirects them to the water of life. And your monthly support of the Intentional Living Center makes it possible. For your gift of any amount today, we'll send you the brand new 16-month Living Water Wall Calendar. The beautiful images of God's creation and specially selected Bible verses remind us how much Jesus, the water of life, truly satisfies. Go to theintentionallife.com to request your 16-month Water of Life calendar and support the Intentional Living Center.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. Welcome back to our Intentional Living Center. Having a great time today with my friend Jim Daly, who's president and CEO of Focus on the Family and the author of the new book, The Good Dad. And Jim's going to join me again here on the line in just a moment as we continue to focus on these principles of being a good dad, not a perfect dad, but a good dad. Hey, listen, I get one chance here before we run out of time to remind you that tomorrow night, Love Your Marriage Date Night, Tucson Christ Community Church, inviting all friends from the Southwest to come on out. We're going to have a great celebration. Make a weekend out of it. Some of you may want to come to Tucson and make a weekend. You can still get your tickets right now by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. More with Jim Daly in just a minute.
Hey, I listen to this program every day after school with my dad as we go home, and I really appreciate what you say. It's like, I just really enjoy it. So I just want to say God bless you and this ministry, and thank you a lot. Bye.
The Good Dad, the name of the book by Jim Daly, President and CEO of Focus on the Family, joining me here at Intentional Living Center today. Jim, I just got two more questions for you. I'm thinking of, one of the things that we do here at our center is we have a conference and we do things on the air sometimes for what we call overtime parenting. When you thought the job was over, and you're now beyond the fourth quarter and you're playing the overtime, there's dads listening who have these adult sons and daughters and they feel like they've blown it. They don't know what to do. They've made mistakes and they're looking for a do-over. And they're trying to catch up. What do you say to the dads who are in that spot today?
Well, one is it's never too late, and you never cease being their father, no matter what the age relationship is. And I would encourage you to take the first step. It's like, again, asking for forgiveness. If that's been difficult for you, if there are rough patches, regardless of what their behavior was, you're responsible for your behavior. And if you did things that were inappropriate, and think honestly about those. It's the log in your eye, mm-hmm. and it's okay. We all have shortcomings. It may have been anger. It may have been a whole host of things. Take the step to reach out to that adult child. Write them a note. Pour out your heart. Ask for forgiveness. It's amazing how the Lord has created the human heart, the emotion of the human being. Because I think when we feel and sense sincerity in that way from another person, our hearts open up. And it may take time, depending upon the wound, but I would not delay it. Model the way it should work. I do know one story I put in the book, a woman who had 30 years been estranged from her father for all kinds of reasons, finally came to the breaking point. She was probably in her 50s, sent a card for Father's Day to her dad with a letter pouring out her heart about how the regrets that she had, and she was so sorry for the way she had treated him in different ways. The card was in the mailbox. She got a phone call that her dad had died of a heart attack and never made it to the mailbox in which her card laid there. Mm. That was a day too short.
Yes,
and I just hope that all of us would not come up a day short.
Boy, that's so true. I wrote a book a few years ago called Father Memories, and it was a book talked about the power of our childhood memories, even of our dads, and how they influence our life and how our perception of life. And I was on an airplane flying, several months after the book came out, and a woman walked up the aisle to go to the restroom. And on the way back, she caught my eye, and she stopped. She said, "Aren't you Randy Carlson?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "I have." And she had in her hand a copy of my book, Father Memories. She said, "I read this book and realized I had some unfinished business with my dad." Mm-hmm. And she started to weep, and she said, "That's why I'm on this plane. I flew to see my dad to make things right, and I'm on my way home." And I think this message of, hey, listen, let's not leave unfinished business is so powerful. And I'm concerned for the family, as you are, Jim, and I know Focus on the Family, you guys have a passion for families, and in your book you talk about one out of every three American children living without a father. What are you guys up to at Focus on the Family, try to continue to make a difference in this very, very difficult culture we're living in?
Yeah, one thing we just did was the Irreplaceable movie and then a follow-on curriculum called The Family Project, where we really give, it's a 12-set curriculum And we're trying to help people better understand, not so much the tips on how to do this better, but why should I even do it?
Yeah.
Because I think our culture has come to the point where marriage isn't that important.
Right.
Parenting is maybe, you know, younger couples are having their kids way later than earlier couples. So I think one of it is just why. Why does it honor God to have a good marriage? Why does it honor God to have children? These are basics that we have to get back to, but that's one of the things that we're trying to do is be a light in this world to point toward God's path, God's ways. And I think when we pursue them, we all believe this as Christians, when we pursue God's ways, those blessings are there. Doesn't mean life is going to be easy, but I think we have a deeper sense of joy than if he's not in our lives.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim. Jim Daly, President and CEO of Focus on the Family, stopped by here to be a part of the program today as we focus on being a good dad. And I like what Jim said. Not a perfect dad, you know, just a good dad. Sometimes just being good at something is enough. And just being good at what you do as a dad gives you freedom not to be perfect. And Jim, appreciate what you're doing, and thanks for being a part of the program today.
Thanks so much, Randy. I appreciate it.
My name is Dale James. I'm a grown man raising my own son, pretty much as a single dad right now. And one of the things I love most about my dad, who is still alive but is in his late stages of Alzheimer's, is the confidence that he always gave me as a child and as a young man growing up, that always reminded me that I was born to be someone great, and that no matter what life throws at me, that God would never leave me or abandon me.
Wow. Listen, you do that as a dad. You're being a great dad, not just a good dad. We all need that. My dad used to speak into my life positive things and send me things to read, and I miss that. But dads, hey, listen, we can still do that, and we need to. A great reminder. You know, this ministry is on the radio and exists because of our members, those who stand behind the ministry sacrificially every month. And if you're not a member, come join us. We'd love to have you be a part of the team. $1 a day in support of the ministry would be appreciated, $30 a month. And, you know, every month our members receive a brand new teaching from me. Goes right out to members on CD across the country. Love to have you be a part of it. Come join us. Come join us by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Hey, we got some great programs coming up. Top 10 reasons not to get married. Did that catch your attention? How about head, heart, and hand in marriage? How to balance all of those. Some of the upcoming topics here from our center in the days ahead. And a final reminder for today that you can get your tickets for Love Your Marriage Night, Date Night, tomorrow night, Tucson, Christ Community Church. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.